भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग द थर्ड कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम सिंस द लास्ट फोर डेज एंड टुडे इज द फिफ्थ डे। इन द लास्ट फोर सेशंस वी हैव completed the 20 chapters of the third canto, and today we will discuss chapters number 21 to 24, and these four chapters describe the grihastha life of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. In the first four chapters of the third canto we have seen the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, and in the fifth chapter we have seen how Vidura met Maitreya Muni and started hearing Bhagavatam from Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni discussed various topics including the creation of this world by Mahavishnu and entrance of Garbhoduka Sai Vishnu into this universe and the birth of Brahma, the prayers of Brahma, the creation of Brahma and the pastimes of Lord Varahadev, both in the first Manvantara, that is Adivaraha or Shvetavaraha, and also another Varaha incarnation in the sixth Manvantara is also described in this third canto, that is Neela Varaha or Rakta Varaha, who also killed Hiranyaksha and protected this earth. And after discussing all these pastimes, Maitreya Muni came back to Brahmaji's creation, and Brahmaji's son was Swayambhu Manu, the first Manu. And from the 21st chapter onwards, Maitreya Muni begins to describe the lineage of Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu married Shatarupa. Actually, Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa, this couple manifested from Brahma, and they had five children. They are Uttanapada and Priyavrata, two sons, and Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti, three daughters. So, the descendants of these five children of Swayambhu Manu will be described from this chapter, third canto, 21st chapter, till the fifth canto, 15th chapter. Third canto, 21st chapter, till the end of this canto is the lineage of Devahuti, and the fourth canto, first chapter, describes the lineages of Akuti and Prasuti, and that discussion about Prasuti's daughter Sati continues up to the seventh chapter of fourth canto, and from fourth canto, eighth chapter, till the 31st chapter, we will see the lineage of Uttanapad, and fifth canto, first chapter, till 15th chapter, we will see the lineage of Priyavrata Maharaj. So, from third canto, 21st chapter, till fifth canto, 15th chapter, is a description of the five children of Swayambhu Manu. First, Maitreya Muni begins the description of the lineage of Devahuti, one of the daughters of Swayambhu Manu. So, Vidura actually asks about the lineage of Priyavrata, Uttanapada, Devahuti and other children of Swayambhu Manu. Then Maitreya begins to describe. And first, we will see the household life or the ideal grihastha life of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni was the son of Brahma and Devahuti was the daughter of Swayambhu Manu. And Devahuti is described as Yoga Lakshana, and Kardama Muni is described as Mahayogi in this text number 3 and 4 of the 21st chapter. And Kardama Muni, now Maitreya Muni is beginning the description. Kardama Muni has been instructed by Lord Brahma, his father, to create progeny, to get married and create progeny and increase the population of this universe. That was the instruction given to Kardama Muni by Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma's project now is to populate the universe with various species, with various living entities. So Kardama Muni, before getting married, so he performed 10,000 years of austerities. He performed Bhakti Yoga to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So before entering household life, Kardama Muni wanted to purify himself completely, thoroughly, by controlling his senses, by controlling his mind and focusing his mind and senses in the devotional service of the Lord and perform Bhakti Yoga. And he has done such devotional austerities for 10,000 years. and he performed bhakti in trance and he prayed to the Lord with deep devotion. Prapanna varadosisham, the Lord bestows all kinds of benedictions to those who are devoted to him. So this Kardamamuni, he performed 10,000 years of austerities with pure devotional attitude, and the Lord is very pleased to offer him all benedictions. So the Lord manifested in front of Kardamamuni. He came on the back of Garuda. So Kardamamuni was performing his austerities near Bindu Sarovar, and the Lord Vishnu came on the back of Garuda to bestow his mercy upon Kardamamuni. So there is a beautiful shloka in Mukundamala Stotra, how the Lord comes on the back of Garuda to rescue his devotees, to protect his devotees. Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani trailokya rakshamani gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani yah kantamani rukmini ghanakucha dvandvaika bhushamani shreya devashikamani dishatuno gopala chudamani. We will not elaborate on this full shloka, but the first line is very relevant here. Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani trailokya rakshamani. The Supreme Lord Vishnu comes on the back of Garuda. Garuda was like a huge mountain, and the Lord appears like a blue mani, blue precious jewel on the top of this mountain like Garuda. So Garuda was like a golden mountain, and on top of it, there is a blue sapphire, blue diamond, blue color precious stone. So Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani. And this Lord, sitting on the back of Garuda with his four hands, he will protect all the devotees who are drowning in the samsara sagara. So trailokya rakshamani, he will protect all his devotees in all the three planetary systems by coming on the back of Garuda. So now, to bestow his benediction upon Kardamamuni, who has worshipped him with so much of love and devotion, the Lord has come on the back of Garuda. So then the Lord was so effulgent, and he was garlanded with white lotuses, and he was wearing silk garments which are yellow in color, and he had very beautiful crown, very nice earrings, and shankha, chakra, gada. He was holding all kinds of weapons, and he was wearing kaustubhamani, and there is Srivatsamarka on his beautiful chest, and he had his hands on the shoulders of Garuda, and he was looking so beautiful. And Maitreya Muni describes the beauty of the Lord in this shloka. Vinyasta charanam bhojam amsha deshe garutmataha drishtva kheva sthitam vakshaha shriyam kaustubhakandharam. Vinyasta charanam bhojam, the Lord is very mercifully, benevolently displaying his beautiful divine lotus feet. And amsha deshe garutmataha, so he was standing on the back of Garuda. Garutmata is Garuda. And drishtva khe avasthitam vakshaha sriyam kaustubha kandharam. And the kaustubha mani, which was hanging on his neck, was so effulgent and resplendent when the Lord was wearing it. So this mani was shining on his bluish chest, and it is emanating such beautiful divine transcendental effulgence. So in this way, Kardamamuni got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. So he became very joyful, and Kardamamuni started offering prayers. He offered such heartfelt prayers. He first said in the 13th shloka, Kardamamuni is offering this prayer. Jushtam batadya khila sattvarashe samsidhyamakshno hatava darshananaha yaddarshanam janma bhiridya shabbir asasate yogino rudha yoga. In this shloka, Kardamamuni says, Jushtam bata adya akhila sattva rasehe. O Lord, you are akhila sattva rasi, means you are the combination of all goodness. So you are a rasi, means you are a big pile of everything that is good. So akhila sattva rasehe, you are composed of pure goodness, without any tinges of material modes of passion or ignorance. He is in pure shuddha sattva. So Jushta, Jushtam Bata Adya Akhila Sattvarasehi. Today I got the great fortune of seeing you, O Lord, who is a personification of pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddha next slogan, next line. Samsidhyam Akshnoho Tava Darshananaha. Samsidhyam Akshnoho. Akshnoho means eyes. My eyes have become perfect by your darshan. The purpose of having eyes is to see the beautiful form of Krishna or Vishnu. So even the gopis of Vrindavan also say in the Venu Gita that the perfection of eyes is to see the beautiful form of Krishna as Krishna is going into the forest along with Balaramji and other cowherd boys and the cows and calves while playing flute. So this, to be able to see the beautiful darshan of the Lord, is the purpose of having eyes. So there is no other purpose for having eyes. So akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidamaha. The gopis say that we don't find any other purpose for having eyes other than seeing Krishna. Now samsidhyam akshnoha tava darshananaha. Here Kardamomani says, my eyes have attained their perfection when they saw your beautiful darshan. Yad darshanam janmabhiridya sadbhir asasate yogi no rudha bhavaha. When the yogis with rudha bhava, with deep devotion, when they perform devotional service unto you, when they meditate on you, you give them darshan, and that's their great fortune. And actually, there are people who worship the Lord, but there are some less intelligent people who also worship the Lord for material benedictions. So pure devotees worship the Lord without any material expectations. Their devotional service is totally selfless, but less intelligent people worship the Lord in expecting some material benedictions. And after describing the nature of such less intelligent people, Kardamomani says, my dear Lord, I am also like that. I also had a material desire, that's why I worshipped you. What was that? Lord Brahma instructed me to marry and create progeny and increase the population of this universe. So, I have worshipped you for 10,000 years with a desire to get a suitable wife. So my desire is to get a suitable wife. That's why I worshipped you. And he said that I am a materialistic person. I am a less intelligent person. So he just humbly is putting himself in that category of less intelligent people who worship the Lord for material desires. But immediately he clarified. Actually, my dear Lord, I worshipped you to get a good wife, suitable and compatible wife. But my desire to have a wife is basically the instruction of Brahma. It's not that I desire for sense gratification, that's why I'm asking for this wife. Brahma instructed me to enter household life and create progeny. So under the instruction, I am praying to you for a good wife. And why Brahmaji instructed me? Because you have instructed Brahma. So Brahmaji's desire that I enter household life is in turn your desire only. So basically when I am asking a wife from you, basically I am fulfilling your desire only. It is your desire that the universe has to be filled with population, and you are using me as an instrument in this wonderful divine project. So my desire for getting a wife is bona fide. So he says like that. And later he glorifies the surrendered souls who will be liberated. Very beautiful shloka, the 17th shloka. Kardamomuni says, Lokamscha lokanugatan pasumscha hitvashritaste charanatapatram parasparam tvadgunavadasidhu piyushaniryapita deha dharma. Lokamscha lokanugatan pasumscha. Lokamscha means there are materialistic people. Lokanugatamscha, there are other people who are followers of this materialistic people and materialistic lifestyle. Pashumscha, so leading a materialistic life and selfish life centered on sense gratification is like animalistic life. Lokamscha lokanugatam pashumscha hitvashritaste charanatapatram. These people, they do not take shelter of the Lord. But pure devotees, they give up the association of such materialistic people and they take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So he is saying hitva ashritaste, giving up the association of such bad people, ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ హిత్వా ఆశ్రితాస్తే చరణ ఆతపత్రం. ఆతపత్రం మీన్స్ దిస్ అంబ్రిల్లా. సో లార్డ్స్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ వుడ్ యాక్ట్ లైక్ అంబ్రిల్లా దట్ కెన్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ అస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద రెయిన్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ మెటీరియల్ డిఫికల్టీస్ దట్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ అపాన్ పీపుల్. సో వెన్ రెయిన్ కమ్స్ యూ నీడ్ ఎన్ అంబ్రిల్లా. సిమిలర్లీ వెన్ ద రెయిన్ ఆఫ్ మిజరీస్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ వీ నీడ్ ద అంబ్రిల్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. సో హీ సేస్ లైక్ దట్ హిత్వా ఆశ్రితాస్తే చరణాతపత్రం. సో ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ గివ్ అ బ్యాడ్ అసోసియేషన్ అండ్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ అండ్ పరస్పరం త్వద్గుణవాద సీధు. అండ్ వాట్ డూ దే డూ? దే మ్యూచువల్లీ సిట్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ డిస్కస్ కృష్ణ కథ. పరస్పరం త్వద్గుణవాద సీధు. సో ద గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ ఆఫ్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ ఈస్ టు డిస్కస్ ద గ్లోరియస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ అండ్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ విత్ అదర్ డివోటీస్. సో డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ నీడ్ నాట్ బీ ఇన్ ఎ మైక్ అడ్రెసింగ్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్, బట్ ఇట్ కెన్ బి ఇన్ వన్స్ ప్రైవేట్ కాన్వర్సేషన్స్ ఆల్సో. పరస్పరం తద్గుణవాద సీధు మీన్స్ మ్యూచువల్లీ. సో మ్యూచువల్లీ డివోటీస్ కమ్ టుగెదర్. సో దే సిట్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ దే డిస్కస్ కృష్ణ కథ. సో ఇట్స్ నాట్ నెసెసరీలీ అన్ అఫిషియల్లీ ఆర్ ఫార్మల్లీ ఆర్గనైజ్డ్ గ్యాదరింగ్, స్పిరిచువల్ గ్యాదరింగ్. దట్ ఈస్ వండర్ఫుల్, దట్ హ్యాస్ టు కంటిన్యూ. బట్ ఈవెన్ డివోటీస్ ఇన్ దేర్ ప్రైవేట్ కాన్వర్సేషన్స్, ఇన్ దేర్ వన్ టు వన్ కాన్వర్సేషన్స్ ఆల్సో దే డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. పరస్పరం త్వద్గుణవాద సీధు. దట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఆల్సో సెడ్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత. మత్తః పరతరం నాన్యత్ కించిదస్తి ధనంజయ. నాట్ దిస్ వన్. ఇన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ మచ్చిత్తా మద్గత ప్రాణ బోధయంతః పరస్పరం కథయంతశ్చ మాం నిత్యం తుష్యంతి చ రమంతి చ. కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ మచ్చిత్తా మద్గత ప్రాణ, మై డివోటీస్ హ్యావ్ కంప్లీట్లీ డెడికేటెడ్ దేర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ టు మీ. మద్గత ప్రాణ, దే హ్యావ్ కంప్లీట్లీ డెడికేటెడ్ దేర్ లైఫ్ టు మీ. అండ్ బోధయంతః పరస్పరం, ద పరస్పరం వర్డ్ కమ్స్ హియర్ ఆల్సో అండ్ దేర్ ఆల్సో. దే ఎన్లైటన్ ఈచ్ అదర్, దే టీచ్ ఈచ్ అదర్. బోధయంతః పరస్పరం. సో సంబడి రీడ్స్ ఏ భగవద్గీత అండ్ దెన్ టీచెస్ అండ్ నెరేట్స్ ఇట్ టు వన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ అండ్ ద ఫ్రెండ్ విల్ రీడ్ సమ్ అదర్ స్క్రిప్చర్ అండ్ దెన్ నెరేట్ దాట్ స్క్రిప్చర్ టు హిస్ ఫ్రెండ్. లైక్ దట్ దేర్ ఆర్ మ్యూచువల్ డిస్కషన్స్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. బోధయంతః పరస్పరం కథయంతశ్చ మాం నిత్యం. రెగ్యులర్లీ దే డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. తుష్యంతి చ రమంతి చ విత్ గ్రేట్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్, విత్ గ్రేట్ జాయ్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్, బ్లిస్. అండ్ ఈవెన్ భాగవతం ద 11th క్యాంటో ఆల్సో సేస్ పరస్పరానుకథనం పావనం భగవద్యశః మిథోరతి మిథః తుష్టిర్ నివృత్తిర్ మిథ ఆత్మనః. పరస్పర అనుకథనం, డివోటీస్ కమ్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ మ్యూచువల్లీ దే డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. అగైన్ పరస్పర వర్డ్ కమ్స్. పరస్పరానుకథనం పావనం భగవద్యశః. వెన్ వీ డిస్కస్ కృష్ణస్ గ్లోరీస్ భగవద్యశః, దట్ విల్ ప్యూరిఫై అస్, దట్ విల్ మేక్ అస్ పావనం. పావనం భగవద్యశః. అండ్ వాట్ ఆర్ ది అదర్ ఎఫెక్ట్స్? వీ విల్ బి ప్యూరిఫైడ్. మిథో రతి, అవర్ అట్రాక్షన్, అవర్ రతి టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ విల్ ఇంక్రీస్. మిథః తుష్టిర్, అవర్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఆల్సో విల్ ఇంక్రీస్. నివృత్తిర్ మిథ ఆత్మనః, అండ్ వీ అవర్ మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్ విల్ బి కంప్లీట్లీ వ్యాంక్విష్డ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ద ఎఫెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ హీరింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ అండ్ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ విత్ అదర్ డివోటీస్. దట్స్ వాట్ కర్దమముని సేస్. పరస్పరం త్వద్గుణవాద సీధు పీయూష నిర్యాపిత దేహ ధర్మాః. అండ్ దిస్ భాగవతం విల్ యాక్ట్ లైక్, దిస్ డిస్కషన్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ విల్ యాక్ట్ లైక్ సీధు అండ్ పీయూష. ఇట్స్ లైక్ ఎన్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో లైక్ నెక్టర్. సో భాగవతం డిస్కషన్స్ ఆర్ లైక్ నెక్టర్, సో దట్ యూ డ్రింక్ అండ్ దెన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ స్పిరిచువల్ బ్లిస్. అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఆల్సో లైక్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్. వెన్ యూ టేక్ ఎన్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్, వీ షుడ్ నాట్ టేక్, బట్ వెన్ సంబడి టేక్స్ ఎ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్, దెన్ వన్ విల్ కంప్లీట్లీ బి అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ టు ఎ డిఫరెంట్ వరల్డ్. దే విల్ బి ఒబ్లీవియస్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్. సో సిమిలర్లీ వెన్ సంబడి టేక్స్ ద ఇంటాక్సికెంట్ ఆఫ్ రియల్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కథ, దెన్ వన్ విల్ బి ఒబ్లీవియస్ టు దిస్ మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్ అండ్ మెటీరియల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ అండ్ వన్ విల్ బి అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సో కృష్ణ కథ యాక్ట్స్ లైక్ అన్ ఇంటాక్సికెంట్ అండ్ లైక్ నెక్టర్. పరస్పరం త్వద్గుణవాద సీధు పీయూష నిర్యాపిత దేహ ధర్మాః. దేహ ధర్మ మీన్స్ వెరీ ట్రివియల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ పెర్టైనింగ్ టు వన్స్ బాడీ. సో వన్ విల్ బి ఒబ్లీవియస్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దట్. సో ఈవెన్ టైమ్ కెనాట్ ఎఫెక్ట్ సచ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ హూ ఆర్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కథ. అండ్ ఫర్దర్ అవర్ Kardamumuni glorifies the Lord. Oh Lord, you are the creator, you are the maintainer, you are the destroyer. Just like a spider creates a spider web and winds it up also on its own. Similarly, the Lord can spread this cosmic manifestation. He will enter universe and all universes come out of his bodily pores and again they can go back into him. So the Lord is compared to spider here. And may you show your causeless mercy upon me, my dear Lord. I want your mercy. So I offer obeisances to your lotus feet. Now the Lord starts speaking to Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni, he glorified the Lord in various ways. And he glorified the process of bhakti that involves sravanam and kirtanam. And he also requested that, my dear Lord, I worshipped you for a wife. And the Lord says, oh Kardama Muni, what you are praying for has already been arranged for you. You wanted a good wife? Yes, just couple of days later, just day after tomorrow, Swayambhu Manu will come along with his wife and his daughter. Swayambhu Manu will come here along with Shatrurupa, his wife, and Devahuti, his beautiful young daughter. And he will offer his daughter in marriage to you. You can accept her hand. And she is a very suitable wife to you. And you and Devahuti are having similar qualities. So you both have divine qualities. You are very well-natured. You are endowed with all good character. And she will be a very obedient and compatible, suitable wife for you. And you have equal disposition. So you can marry her. So like that, he will come day after tomorrow. He says like that. And through Devahuti, you will beget 9 daughters. And through these 9 daughters, there will be increase in population. So your project of contributing to the increase of the population of this universe will also be fulfilled. And your service to Brahma also will become fruitful. So you can marry Devahuti, he says. And further, the Lord gives another benediction to Kardama Muni, although Kardama Muni has not asked for it. He only asked for a wife so that he can complete the service that was assigned to him by Brahma. But the Lord further said, oh Kardama Muni, I am very impressed with your devotion. I will personally become your son. I will take birth from the combination of yourself and Devahuti. So I will become your son. So Kardama Muni has not asked for it specifically, but the Lord bestowed this benediction. The Lord is so pleased with Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So basically the Lord is arranging for the marriage of his parents. So the Lord is bestowing this benediction upon Kardama Muni that he would be marrying Devahuti and then he will become their son. So the Lord will arrange for the marriage of his devotees also. So the Lord arranged for the marriage of Arjuna and Subhadra. And now here we can see that he is arranging for the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So now after getting married and after getting retired from your active household life, oh Kardama Muni, you will be able to see me everywhere. You will realize my presence everywhere and I will manifest as your son. And the name of that son is Kapila Dev. So the Lord will appear as Kapila and then enlighten his mother also. So after saying this, the Lord departed. He went back to his Vaikuntha. And Kardama Muni waited for the arrival of Manu. And just after 2 days, as the Lord predicted, Swayambhu Manu came there along with Shatrurupa and along with Devahuti and then had a conversation with this Kardama Muni. So in this context, Maitreya Muni describes the ambience of Bindu Sarovar. So Bindu Sarovar was filled with the tears of the Lord. The Lord, when he saw the devotion of his pure devotee, he had tears in his eyes and the tears fell in this Bindu Sarovar, and the Bindu Sarovar is formed with the tears of the Lord, and the Bindu Sarovar is such a wonderful place and it is filled with the waters of river Saraswati and it has so many beautiful trees on its shores and it's inhabited by beautiful water birds like swans and cranes and chakravaka birds, and there are so many mode of goodness animals. Animals and birds and trees are also in different modes. Like crows are in lower modes, like they are in ignorance. But swans, they are in mode of goodness. So like that, wherever the sages are living in their simple, humble hermitages, the ambience of these hermitages in the forest is in mode of goodness. And this ambience, which is in mode of goodness, will inspire them to focus on their spiritual practices nicely. Otherwise, there are distractions. In a passionate ambience, one cannot practice devotional service or do their austerities properly. That's why the sages choose very peaceful atmosphere so that they can practice their austerities nicely. So then Manu has come there and he sees Kardama Muni in his hermitage. Kardama Muni was so effulgent, and Kardama Muni received Swayambhu Manu with great honor and respect. And Kardama Muni glorified Swayambhu Manu. So Kardama Muni was playing the role of a Brahmana, and Swayambhu Manu was a Kshatriya. He was a ruler. So in the conversation between Kardama and Swayambhu Manu, we can see how there is cooperation between Kshatriyas, the administrative class, and Brahmanas, the intellectual class. So Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are considered the leaders of the society. So when there is proper cooperation between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, means when there is a proper cooperation with the between the ruling class and the intellectual class, means Brahmanas are supposed to enlighten the Kshatriyas in how to conduct their responsibilities as rulers. So Brahmana gives guidance and he is satisfied. He does not want any post or position. He is satisfied with that little charity, and then he is very happy giving his knowledge without any reservations. He wants to give knowledge to people and guide them on the right path, and he is satisfied in his role. And Kshatriya is also very obedient to this intellectual class of people, and they receive knowledge with all gratitude, and they worship and respect the Brahmanas with whatever necessities they want, and they will arrange everything, and then Kshatriyas will rule responsibly. So in this way we can see that there is a very wonderful cooperation between Kshatriyas and Brahmanas in the olden days. And Kardama Muni glorifies Swayambhu Manu. Oh Swayambhu Manu, you embody the protecting energy of the Lord. King is supposed to protect citizens, and that protective ability is bestowed upon the king by the Lord. And you are non-different from Lord Vishnu in the sense that a king is supposed to be a representative of Lord Vishnu in protecting the citizens. And without you, the Varnashrama system in the kingdom cannot be upheld. It will be destroyed. And irreligion could increase if a ruling monarch, ruling king is not very righteous in his behavior and in his mentality. So you have come to my hermitage. What exactly is your desire? Please tell me without any reservations, so I will fulfill your desire. So that completes the 21st chapter, and then we enter the 22nd chapter. In this, Manu starts speaking to Kardama Muni. Manu tells Kardama, "Oh Kardama, you are a pure Brahmana, and Lord Brahma has created Brahmanas like you to preserve the Vedic knowledge and spiritual culture by propagating it. So if you want to preserve something, you may keep it in a very beautiful locker and keep it locked and then keep it safe. But knowledge, culture and values are not preserved by storing them in one safe place. They are preserved by propagating them. So preservation of spiritual culture happens by propagation of spiritual culture. Preservation by propagation. So in this beautiful section, Swayambhu Manu glorifies Kardama Muni as an ideal Brahmana through which spiritual knowledge and spiritual culture is getting preserved and propagated. And like he says that we Kshatriyas are supposed to protect the interests of Brahmanas and serve you in all ways. So now I have resolved all my doubts by hearing about the qualities of Kshatriyas from an exalted soul like you. So now by my good fortune I have attained your association and instructions. So, in this way, Swayambhu Manu glorified Kardama Muni. And now, Swayambhu Manu comes to the matter. He says that, "I have come here to offer my beloved daughter Devahuti to you in marriage. O Kardama Muni, please accept Devahuti as your wife. And I know you have not taken a vow of celibacy. Brahmacharis are of two types. So, one is Naishtika Brahmachari. Second is Upakurvana Brahmachari. Naishtika Brahmachari is a person who takes a vow of celibacy throughout one's life. And Upakurvana Brahmachari, he takes the vow of celibacy and he follows the vow of celibacy up to certain point, and after that he will get married. So his being a celibate or a Brahmachari is only for some amount, some time. That is Upakurvana Brahmachari. So this Kardama Muni is like Upanakurvan Brahmachari, where he wanted to remain as a celibate only for some time, and after that he wanted to get married. And I know your decision. You are also looking for a girl to marry. So please accept this Devahuti in marriage. So please accept her as your wife. And she is coming from a great lineage, and she is the sister of great Uttanapada and Priyavrata, and she is my daughter, because Swayambhu Manu is saying this, and she is ideal in her character, and she also heard about you, O Kardama Muni, and she has fixed her mind on you, and she is also desiring to have you as her husband, and also please do not deny this offering, because this offering came to you on its own accord. So I am coming directly. So the father of the girl is coming directly to this boy, or Kardama Muni here, and offering his daughter to you, daughter to this person. So that is considered a very respectful marriage. But if the boy himself goes in search of a girl and then asks the father of the girl for the hand of the girl, then it's not considered very respectable in the olden days, Vedic society. So Swayambhu Manu says that please accept her when it comes. And tomorrow when you need, and if you have to go out, unnecessarily you will end up wasting your time and energy. Better you accept now only. So he says like that. Then Kardama Muni accepted this proposal. Kardama Muni very gratefully and readily agreed to this proposal and said, Swayambhu Manu, yes, you are right. I am also looking to get married, and I also appreciate Devahuti for her position. She is like a crest jewel amongst all women. Who would not accept her hand? And even a Gandharva fell down seeing Devahuti's beauty. So once there was a Gandharva, he was flying in his airplane. And Devahuti, being a young girl, so she was playing on the terrace of Swayambhu Manu's palace. In those days also there were very huge palaces. Palaces are not like modern technology. They are there in the olden days also. In the first Manvantara also they were there. So she was playing on the terrace, and the terrace was so high from the ground level that Gandharva, who was flying on the airplane, could see Devahuti closely while staying in his airplane. So the terrace was that tall. The building was that tall. So seeing this Devahuti, this Gandharva got attracted, and then he fell down from his airplane. So why he fell down? Because it's offensive to see another woman with lust in his mind. So that's why he just fell down from his airplane. So this incident was also known to Kardama Muni. He said she is so beautiful that even Gandharvas also would get attracted by her beauty. So what wise man will not welcome her? So I will marry her, certainly, for sure. But I have one condition. The condition was, if she becomes pregnant and she gives birth to some children, I would be leaving her and I would enter renounced order of life. So Kardama Muni was making a retirement plan or planning for his vanaprastha or sannyasa life even before getting into grihastha life. So the Vedic culture teaches us that one should not be in household life till the fag end of one's life. In the olden days, people used to plan for their retirement also. Sometimes they may take wife also when they are getting retired. So Kardama Muni said that, so she will give birth to some children. After children come, then I will go for pursuing my full-time devotional service. So I would stay with her only till that time. Then Swayambhu Muni said, it's perfectly all right. Basically, Devahuti was protected by Swayambhu Manu till her marriage. And after marriage, Devahuti will be protected by Kardama Muni as an ideal husband. And after Kardama Muni's retirement, Devahuti will be protected by her son Kapiladev. So like that, a woman is protected by father, husband and grown-up sons throughout her life, and it is very ideal for a woman. And Swayambhu Manu did not have any issues. And Kardama Muni is such a great devotee that he is pursuing his spiritual realization after fulfilling the household responsibilities, and it is perfectly understandable for Swayambhu Manu, and he readily agreed. And Shatrupa also agreed. Devahuti also agreed. And immediately the marriage arrangements were made. So he says that the highest authority that I have is the Lord. Swayambhu Manu, Kardama Muni says that his highest authority was the Supreme Lord, and my obligation or my devotion to him is my first priority. Although I fulfill these household responsibilities very dutifully, but finally I have a plan to just dedicate my life for the devotional service of the Lord. Then, having said this, Kardama Muni became silent. And Devahuti was impressed with the speech of Kardama Muni, and Manu offered Devahuti in marriage to Kardama Muni. And so Kardama Muni became silent, and then he started meditating on the Lord. The Acharya say that, Prabhupada says that, a devotee will speak when it is necessary, and then he will become silent and meditate on the Lord when he is not, it's not necessary for him to speak. So Kardama Muni spoke this much, and then he started meditating on the Lord. And Devahuti fixed her mind on Kardama Muni, and then Swayambhu Manu immediately got them married, and Shatrupa gave so many presentations and some gifts for Devahuti, and then Manu and Shatrupa started departing, and Manu was overwhelmed with feelings of affection and love for his beloved daughter Devahuti. He embraced her and consoled her, and he had tears in his eyes, and finally he had to leave Devahuti in the protection of Kardama Muni, and then he went back to his own kingdom. So Manu and Shatrupa returned, and as they were returning, they were seeing the beautiful forests and the hermitage and the whole ambience of Bindu Sarovar, which was so conducive for spiritual practices. And eventually our Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa reached their kingdom. The kingdom is Brahmavarta, and the citizens of Brahmavarta welcomed Manu very cordially. And the rest of this chapter, 22nd chapter, is dedicated to describing the Swayambhu Manu's ideal household life. So in the previous days, olden days, all the kings or brahmanas or kshatriyas, they would live a very ideal household life. Not a household life centered on sense gratification, but a household life centered on devotional principles and Krishna conscious activities. So he, Swayambhu Manu, was living in Brahmavarta, and when Varahadev appeared, his hairs fell in Brahmavarta, and then the hairs turned into kusha grass. So Manu worshipped the Lord with that kusha grass. And Manu entered his palace, which is filled with all kinds of opulences. And Manu enjoyed with his wife and with his servants and with his royal paraphernalia and his subjects without conflicting with anyone. And he was upholding this dharma artha, he was constantly absorbed in hearing Krishna Katha. Every day in the morning, he would hear Krishna Katha, and he would write, he would read, and he would recite, and he would teach devotional principles and scriptural principles to people in general. He is Manu. So he has given Manu Samhita to this humanity. And he is always absorbed in Vasudeva, and he transcended all threefold miseries. So no miseries can bind a devotee who is absorbed in devotional service and Krishna Katha. So although Manu was a ruling emperor, and his sons are also great emperors, still Manu was not, he did not become a victim, or he did not become distracted by all his opulences, but Manu was focused on his devotional service, on his spiritual life. So all these great kings, ideal kings, they are called Rajarshis. Rajarshi, Raja means king, Rishi means sage. So Rajarshi means a sage amongst the kings, means a saintly king. A king who has the qualities of a saint. So Rajarshi means a saintly king. All these Rajarshis, they have great responsibility in taking care of their citizens. So they rule the kingdom with great responsibility, but when there is an able successor, they will give up that kingdom to that successor, and then they retire with detachment. So they have responsibility and they have detachment also. In the name of detachment, they do not become irresponsible towards their duties. And in the name of responsibility, they do not become unduly attached to all the palace comforts and their family and other facilities in their kingdom. So, although they are in the midst of great opulence, they are still focused on their pure devotional service. This is the glory of Swayambhu Manu and all Rajarshis like Ambarish Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj and many other great souls. So, no miseries can bind such a devotee. So, after completing the description of Swayambhu Manu's household life, ideal household life, Maitreya Muni starts describing about what happened to Devahuti and Kardama Muni after their marriage. So, that brings us to the 23rd chapter of 3rd canto, so which is entitled Devahuti's Lamentation. So, Devahuti started serving Kardama Muni with great care. In three shlokas, in the first three shlokas of this chapter, 23rd chapter, Maitreya Muni describes the ideal character exhibited by Mother Devahuti in her service to her husband Kardama Muni. So, the way Devahuti rendered service to Kardama Muni gives us a lot of lessons in how a disciple has to render service to spiritual master, service to guru. So, even sannyasis, even renunciants also should learn from the character and behavior and activities of Devahuti. So, one might say, what will renunciants learn from this woman, Devahuti? Yes, this Devahuti is a very ideal woman that even renunciants also are supposed to learn from her character in how one has to render service to their gurus. So, now she see her character is described here. Pitrubhyam prasthite sadhvi patim ingita kovida nityam paryacharat pritya bhavaniva bhavam prabhum. Very beautiful comparison is given here. Pitrubhyam prasthite sadhvi. So, Pitrubhyam means our Devahuti's parents, Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa. So, Swayambhu Manu left Devahuti with her husband Kardama Muni. After he left, what happened? Devahuti started serving her husband. How? Patim ingita kovidaha. Patim is husband. Ingita means mentality. Kovida means having understood. So she has understood the mood and disposition of Kardama Muni and accordingly she rendered service to Kardama Muni. Similarly, a disciple is supposed to understand the mood of Guru and render service to the Guru. And Nityam Paryacharat Pritya. Nitya means regularly. Paryacharat, she was serving Kardama Muni and Pritya with great love and affection. Bhavani Iva Bhavam Prabhum. And a comparison is given. Devahuti is compared to Bhavani. Bhavani is Shiva's consort. Bhavani Iva Bhavam Prabhum. Bhava means Shiva. So just as Bhavani was rendering service to Lord Shiva, similarly Devahuti was also rendering service to Kardama Muni. So, why this comparison is apt? Because Kardama Muni was a sage living in the forest in a very humble hermitage. And Devahuti was coming from a great palace. She was the daughter of a great emperor. But she has left all that facilities of her father's palace and she came and lived in this humble hermitage along with Kardama Muni. So, she has given up all her facilities. She had absolutely no pride. Similarly, Parvati also, this Bhavani also, she was the daughter of Daksha. So, her father had a lot of opulence and even in her next life also she was the daughter, she was Parvati, the daughter of the king of Himalayas, right? So Parvati or Bhavani, she left father's opulence and sat with Shiva and rendered various services to Lord Shiva. So Shiva was not having a big palace. He was not like a king. So he was looking like a renunciant and he was wearing very simple clothes. And he was living in a crematorium in a very simple and humble demeanor. So but Parvati rendered service to Shiva. Similarly, Devahuti also rendered service to Kardama Muni. So, similarly, a disciple may be having a lot of wealth, But and guru may be a renunciant, he is a simple, humble mendicant. But disciple should not have any pride in one's own material wealth, but disciple should render service to guru with all humility. Next sloka. Vishrambhenatma sauchena gauravena damena cha susrushaya sauhrudena vacha madhuraya cha bhoha. Vishrambhena atma sauchena means our devahuti is serving Kardama Muni with great intimacy, Atma Shochena with cleanliness externally and internally. So Atma could refer to body, Atma could refer to internal mind and soul, consciousness also. So Atma Shochena means she was externally and internally clean in her attitude and in her attire. Gauravena with great respect. There is intimacy, but there is respect also. Intimacy does not mean disrespect. And respect does not mean great fear. Not that you are not being approachable. So there is intimacy, but there is also some respect there. So gauravena damena cha, with self-control. Susrushaya sauhrudena, she was rendering various services. Sauhrudena, in a very friendly demeanor. Vacha madhuraya cha bhoho, and she was also speaking very sweetly, not harshly. So speaking very sweetly is a very important requirement for the survival of any relationship. And next, Vishrijya kamam dambham cha dvesham lobham agham madam apramattodhyata nityam tejiyamsham atoshayat. Vishrijya kamam dambham cha. She has given up kamam, lust. She has given up dambham, pride, in her previous position. Dvesham, she had absolutely no envy. Lobham, no greed. Agham, she was sinless. She had no sinful activities or sinful disposition. Madam, she had no intoxication or pride. Apramattodhyata nityam, she was extremely alert and cautious. Nityam, always. Tejiyamsam atoshayat. In this way, she has completely pleased her powerful husband. So a disciple also should learn from the activities and behavior and character of Mother Devahuti and render service to one's guru with all these qualities. One should not have any envy or pride or greed or envy or lust. Or one should also be very respectful and self-controlled and loving and soft-spoken in front of guru. So when Kardama Muni saw that Devahuti was rendering service to him with such deep affection and love and respect, he was so impressed and he was overwhelmed with compassion, because Devahuti, in her attempts to render service to Kardama Muni, she was so focused that she did not even care for her own body. She became very emaciated. She was so thin. So she was not even taking care of her body properly, but she was taking care of her husband so nicely. So she has completely dedicated herself to the service of Kardama Muni. Similarly, a disciple also should render service to guru in a similar disposition. So then Kardama Muni was extremely pleased with her service, and she spoke. And Kardama Muni spoke to Devahuti. He said, "You will attain all facilities that I have attained through my devotional service. My dear wife, I have become so pleased with you. So I will bestow all the results of my devotional service that I have performed since several years. So I will bestow all the results to you. I will give you that Bhagavat Prasada. So I will give you all the mercy that I have received from the Lord." So here Prabhupada makes a very beautiful statement that a wife, when she renders service to her pure Vaishnava husband, devotee husband, then she can attain all the benedictions that are available for her husband also. So the husband may be doing so many austerities and performing a lot of devotional service to attain a lot of benedictions and mercy of the Lord. But wife can get all of that. She can have access to all of that just by her sincere service to husband. Similarly, a guru is extremely powerful and he is very devoted to the Lord and he attains the mercy of the Lord. And a disciple who renders sincere service to such a guru will also be entitled for the mercy of the Lord by his service to guru. So now, because of this Bhagavat Prasada, you will not have any lamentation or fear. The effects of this Bhagavat Prasada or mercy of the Lord one is Ashokam, second is Abhayam. Ashoka is no lamentation, freedom from lamentation. Abhaya means freedom from fear, fearlessness. And freedom from lamentation are the results of this Bhagavat Prasada, this love of God. So Devahuti, out of her simplicity, so she smiled with great shy, and she responded to Kapila, sorry, responded to Kardamamuni. She said, yes, I will accept this Bhagavat Prasada, but right now I have a desire to attain a son. Some children I want. You have promised me that you will give me some children. So first, make me a mother. First, give me the happiness of being a mother of some children. So I want this first. And Kartam and Devahuti, she did not immediately accept that Bhagavat Prasada or the mercy of the Lord, which is actually love of God, which is actually prema towards the Lord. But out of her innocent desire to become a mother, she did not immediately accept this divine spiritual benedictions and blessings, but she innocently asked for this for being a mother. Then Kardamamuni smiled at her innocence, and then he said, okay, fine, I will bestow this benediction. And later Devahuti also said that, oh my dear husband, my body has been emaciated. It is not suitable for union. So I have become very emaciated. First, make my body fit to become a mother. So then Kardamamuni understood her desire also. That desire also. Then Kardamamuni created an aerial mansion. Now Devahuti is desiring for some children, although Kardamamuni was about to give her love of Godhead. How is it justified? One may think like that. But the point here is, Devahuti's desire was in turn a part of the Supreme Lord's will. Because through Devahuti, because she asked for children, so this progeny will come and the universe will be populated. And through Devahuti, Lord Kapila has to take birth. And he has to give the teachings of Kapila, teachings of Sankhya Yoga. So Kapila has to descend through Devahuti and Kardamamuni's union. So Devahuti's innocent desire in front of Kardamamuni is also a plan of the Supreme Lord. So Kardamamuni created a big aerial mansion for their enjoyment. And that aerial mansion is flying mansion, and it has all kinds of facilities. And Devahuti saw and she was astonished, but still she was little morose. Then Kardamamuni understood. She is basically looking for a revival of her body. So Kardamamuni told Devahuti, you should enter that sarovar and take bath. Then Devahuti entered that sarovar, entered that lake, and inside the lake, Devahuti saw hundreds of, 1,000 young girls who were ready to serve her. So they bathed her nicely, and they combed her hair, and they dressed her nicely. They dressed her in very beautiful garments and ornaments and other kinds of cosmetics. And Devahuti saw her own reflection in a mirror. She was looking exquisitely beautiful. Actually, she was a great princess. She was the daughter of Swayambhu Manu directly. And now that she was so emaciated and she was not looking so beautiful, Kardamamuni actually restored her beauty by his mystic opulence. He only has arranged all these servants inside the water reservoir. So then she came out well decorated. So Kardamamuni saw Devahuti, Kardamamuni saw his wife, and Kardamamuni took Devahuti, and along with all these 1,000 girls, he entered this aerial mansion. He was looking like a moon in the midst of so many stars. Kardamamuni was shining. Kardamamuni has created this aerial mansion and all these girls and such opulence, and he revived the beauty of his wife, all because of his mystic opulence, mystic powers. So a sage has lot of mystic powers by which he can do many things. And Kardamamuni and Devahuti in that aerial mansion went to different places. All the pleasure spots in the universe, they went to different valleys and hills and mountain ranges, and they enjoyed there for such a long time, for about 100 years. Now you may say, why Kardama Muni is enjoying sense gratification for 100 years? But in those days, people would live for a long time. If we can prepare for household life by performing 10,000 years of austerities of bhakti yoga, and if he enjoys for 100 years, which is so insignificant compared to 10,000 years, it's not a big thing to get surprised. In proportion to his long lifespan, this 100 years of enjoyment in household life does not minimize his position. Although apparently he is enjoying his senses with Devahuti everywhere in different places, and he is a great devotee of the Lord also, so we should not feel surprised. It is ideal household life, and he is supposed to be pleasing his wife like this. And even great devatas also appreciated the ideal household life of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So Kardama Muni enjoyed with Devahuti at different places, and then he came back to his humble hermitage. In this context, our Maitri Muni speaks a beautiful shloka, 42nd shloka. Kim durapadanam tesham pumsam uddama chetasam yairashritah tirthapadah charano vyasanatyayah. Kim durapadanam tesham, what is impossible for great devotees to attain? By dint of their dedication and devotion to the Supreme Lord, such great devotees can attain any opulence, and they can do unimaginable things. They are inconceivable even to the demigods also. So Kardama Muni enjoyed his household life in such a way, and he came back to his humble hermitage, and he united with Devahuti by expanding himself into 9 forms. So Kardama Muni, being a great yogi, he could expand himself into 9 forms, and he united with Devahuti, and because of that she became pregnant and she gave birth to 9 daughters on that day only. She was very excited, and she got daughters, 9 daughters. They were all very lovely and very beautiful. And as soon as these daughters were born, Kardama Muni just wanted to go. Kardama Muni wanted to retire, and he was about to go into the forest to perform his austerities and then continue to and completely dedicate his life to the practice of devotional service. Then Devahuti came and asked, "My dear Kardama Muni, she was feeling very shy. She was feeling so bad, and she was with great difficulty she was controlling her tears because her husband was leaving her. Yes, there was a condition kept in the before the marriage only. He said that when she bears children, I will go. But Kardama Muni is going now." And Devahuti came in front of Kardama Muni and said that, "You have given me daughters, but you have not given me abhayam or fearlessness. Because these daughters will marry their suitable husbands and they will leave to their husbands' houses, and I will be alone. So I should be fearless." Basically, she indirectly asked for a son. "So in your absence, I need a son who can take care of me. You should offer me protection and fearlessness in the form of a son, and then only you should leave, not now." So she indicated that indirectly. And she also regretted, "Oh my dear powerful husband Kardama Muni, I have utilized your association for my sense gratification. For 100 years I only enjoyed with you at different places, and now I got some children, but I have not utilized your glorious association for perfecting my life." So actually Kardama Muni said, "I will give you Bhagavat Prasada, I will give you love of Godhead, I will give you Abhayam, I will give you Ashokam, I will give you freedom from fear and lamentation." Kardama Muni was bestowing all the spiritual benediction that he has attained upon Devahuti, but Devahuti innocently said, "No, I don't want this spiritual benediction at this stage, right now." And she did not reject actually, but she asked for something else. "I want children." So Devahuti got children, and Kardama Muni was about to leave, and now Devahuti started regretting. "So I am very ignorant. I did not utilize your wonderful association to perfect my life. I did not receive any spiritual benediction from you. I only utilized your association for my sense enjoyment. So, but even if somebody associates with a sadhu for sense enjoyment also, with some material purpose also, sadhus association should only uplift their consciousness. So although I was ignorant in my association with you, you should be compassionate enough upon me to bestow some fearlessness and spiritual benediction also upon me. She said like this. She speaks two beautiful verses. The 55th shloka of this chapter is very instructive. She says, Sangoyah samsriter hetur asat subihito dhiyam sa eva sadhu shukrito nissangatvaya kalpate. Sangoyah samsriter hetu asat subihito dhiya. If we associate with bad people, asat people, then that will become the hetu or the cause of samsriti, means continued cycle of repeated birth and death. Means if we have bad association, if we associate with materialistic people, we will be continuing to wander in this repeated cycle of birth and death. But if we associate with exalted devotees, then that will be the cause of liberation. Nissangatvaya kalpate, we will be devoid of material association. We will be devoid of all material attachments and we will be eligible for liberation by devotee association. And even if somebody associates with you without proper knowledge, still one should only get spiritual benediction. Please help me. And she says in another beautiful shloka, in the next 56th shloka, Neha yat karma dharmaya naviragaya kalpate na tirthapada sevayai jivan apimrito hisaha. Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate. If one's dharma, means practice of religious duties, does not lead to, nehayat karma dharmaya, if one's karma, means if one's activities do not lead to dharma, righteousness, then the activities are waste. And if one's dharma, means religious duties, they do not lead them to viraga, means detachment, then the dharma is useless. Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate. So karma should lead to dharma, dharma should lead to viraga, and viraga should lead to tirthapada seva, means the service to the Supreme Lord and His devotees. The Supreme Lord is called tirthapada. So ultimately karma, all our activities are meant to make us dharmic. We should be very righteous and virtuous in our activities. We may do so many activities, but they should align with dharma. And our dharma, doing of so many religious duties, should lead us to viraga. Viraga means detachment from material enjoyment. And that detachment should also lead to attachment to the Lord. Only detachment from matter is not sufficient. Attachment to spirit is also needed. One should be attached to the Supreme Lord. Means one should render service to that Supreme Lord. So karma should lead to dharma. Dharma should lead to viraga. Viraga should lead to tirthapada seva, service to the Lord. And I have been royally cheated by Maya. Because of illusory energy, I have not utilized your association properly. Please bestow this benediction. So that completes the 23rd chapter and we come to the 24th chapter. So in this chapter, we see that when Devahuti was lamenting like this, then Kardamamuni consoles her. Actually, according to the Lord's plan, Kardamamuni should not retire, because the Lord has already predicted that He will descend as the son of Kardama and Devahuti. So Kardama Muni was going only that gives an opportunity for Mother Devahuti to express all these beautiful things, whatever she had spoken. Now Kardama Muni stays back, and then he would very lovingly console his beloved wife Devahuti and says that, my dear Devahuti, do not worry. The Supreme Lord will become your son. So the Lord will descend as your son, because the Lord has already predicted. He told Kardamamuni that I will become your son. So you will have the great fortune of having the Supreme Lord as your son. Please don't worry. You worship the Supreme Lord with great devotion. Although it is predestined that Devahuti will become the mother of Kapiladev, still Kardamamuni suggested that you should perform devotional service. So devotional service is the eternal activity of every single living being. It's not that you perform bhakti to get some benediction, and once it is confirmed that you will get that result, you stop bhakti. Not like that. Bhakti has to be done always. So Then eventually Lord Kapila takes birth in Devahuti's womb. Then when Kapila takes birth, then Brahmaji comes. Then Lord Brahma comes to Kardamamuni and says that, "Oh Kapila, you are, oh Kardamamuni, you are such an ideal son. And you have fulfilled the duties of an ideal son. And you have led your household life in a very ideal manner. So I appreciate you for what you have done. And I appreciate Devahuti also for being an ideal wife. And your combination, Devahuti and Kardama, your grihastha life, your household life is really ideal life. You lived in an exemplary manner. Devahuti behaved like an exemplary wife. And you also have behaved like an exemplary husband. And I am very pleased with you. And I suggest that you offer all your 9 daughters in marriage to some great sages." And Brahmaji instructed Kardamamuni like this, and he offered prayers to Kapila, and then he departed. And Brahmaji was also accompanied by 4 Kumaras and Narad Muni, and all these people also left. And later Kardamamuni got his 9 daughters married to different sages, and these daughters left along with their husbands, and Kardamamuni now planned for his retirement. Now his daughters are married, so he completed his responsibilities as a father, and he had a grown-up son, Kapiladev, and this Kapiladev, his son, can take care of Mother Devahuti, so Kardamamuni need not stay at house. So Kardamamuni was planning to go to the forests and then perform devotional service and realize the Supreme Lord. Now somebody might get a question. Kardamamuni was retiring from household life and he was about to perform devotional service to realize the Supreme Lord, and that Supreme Lord whom he was supposed to realize, whom he was trying to realize, was staying right in his house as his son. So why Kardamamuni has to leave his house? So it doesn't seem logical, but there are reasons why Kardamamuni left from his house, although the Supreme Lord is staying in his house as Kapiladev. One reason is, at some point in one's life, a grihastha is supposed to retire from active household life and take to retired life as vanaprastha, as a sannyasi. To set the right example, according to the Vedic literatures, Kardamamuni retired at the right time. Second is, Kardamamuni was accustomed to worship the Lord as a servant. He was in Dasya Rasa. Dasya Rasa means a devotee worships the Lord and serves the Lord in the mood of a servant. But if Kardamamuni stays at home, Kardamamuni will have to play the role of a father of the Lord. So that means he would have to exhibit Vatsalya Rasa. But his heart says that he should be in Dasya Rasa. But he cannot be exhibiting Vatsalya affection towards the Lord. So these rasas will mix. So Kardamamuni said, "I will stick to my position as a servant of the Lord. I cannot play the role as a father of the Lord. So I will take leave from the Lord and I will retire from my active household life and I will go to the forests." So the Kardamamuni went to Kapila and offered heartfelt prayers to the Lord and said that, "My dear Lord, please give me permission to depart. Please permit me." And later the Lord Kapila gave permission to Kardamamuni, and Kardamamuni retired, and Kapiladev also reassured Kardamamuni that, "I will take care of Devahuti. I will give her teachings of Kapila, teachings of Sankhya Yoga, and I will give her teachings of Bhakti Yoga. And you also, after your retirement, you will perform devotional service and you will realize the Supreme Lord. And eventually you will go back to Godhead." So Kardamamuni retired and eventually he realized the Supreme Lord, and he went on the path of self-realization and he went back to Godhead. So thus we completed the description of the ideal household life of Kardamamuni. And tomorrow we will see how Kapila has enlightened Devahuti with his teachings. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.